Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am very grateful that in this new year of 2021, on this 24th day of January, you have chosen to be with me. It's an honor, and don't think it's by accident. It isn't. Nothing is left to chance here in our life, and we live in a network for most people as a network of repetition, over and over and over again. Same old, same old. In fact, that's the title of this particular broadcast, because I got emails during the late part of December, early January, about how nothing changes. And I thought that would be an excellent thing for us to take a look at. There is basic things that that change in the course of a human being's lifetime as their body changes, as people think of time diminishing their health, diminishing their body, eating away at it. We tend to look at how things have changed in that regard. The people who have left the planet, who have died, all sorts of things, trends, things that were popular at one time are no longer popular at another time or even now. There's all sorts of change, quote unquote, going on. But I would like to say this to you. It isn't that time exists as change. It is that something is moving in the background of our livingness that we do not detect. The reason being is because we are fixated in a body that we don't want to change. It's a network of repetition and habit based on genetic nature. So my genetic inheritance is looking at the body and living in the body as the body and inducing a kind of hypnotism, as it were, a kind of repetitious thought, emotion, feelings of maybe anger, hatred, frustration about not progressing or not getting what I think my life should have. We all have these intents. They're called dreams. And people believe in their silly little dreams that they think will rescue them from their genetic nature, their inherited body, their DNA, and it won't. So as we go on and on and on, and we realize that real authentic change does not exist, it's about transformation, not just change, we start to see why we have the difficulties in this world we do. So we're going to look at the same old, and why things don't seem to change, and we'll get into that. First question comes from Henson in California. He says, nothing ever changes in this world. Everything remains the same. We are fighting the same battles over and over and over again, socially, politically, and religiously. Why? Is this a grand scheme? Henson. Henson, the human mind stays fixated on survival. That's all it's about. And so when my mind and my emotions are fixated on survival, I am subject to the woes and wills of my genetic nature. And as I sit in that genetic nature and allow it to preach to me and influence me to think and believe the way I might think and believe as a man, I suddenly then am stuck in the, shall we say, degression of the progression of my own death. I am not going to see things in the light of what they really are, in the reality of the authentic. I am going to see things in accordance with genetic nature. I talked to a friend of mine who was a colleague, and he was telling me why he quit and being a minister, and what he wanted with his life was just to exist. I mean, just purely exist, living as he does in a house with a big family. And he surrounds himself with people who are Confederates for him. And he lives off of memories, and he lives off of the idea that the world is a harsh place, and he just wants to hide away until the day he dies. And this is the way a lot of people think. Has he changed over the years? I hadn't talked to him in almost 50 years. You know, all of this was happening deep within him when I knew him as a kid. And I didn't recognize it. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what was going on within my own body, within my own mind, within my own ideals. I just didn't have any idea what the heck was going on. So when I started to talk to him about his life and his intents for the world, he just wants to hide. He doesn't really want to be involved. And when I start to see that inside of a person, I really realize, honestly and truly, that their life is over. He wants what's comfortable, what's easy, what's quick, what's fast, and he just wants to get through without ever questioning, really, why he is here, who he's about. Did you get what I mean? Who he is about. He is living his genetics. He's living his DNA. And when we live that, we live in the confines of no change. Because my genetics and my DNA can only go so far, and then they stop. So I can't really do anything that's meaningful, because I have to do what, you know, Greg tells me to do, or Greg thinks is the only thing he can do. People live off these fantasy dreams, a dream of a better life, and nothing is more foolish than that. Dreams. What is my dream? That I have lots of money to do whatever I want, blah, blah. What is a dream? What are we talking about here? It's always about the outer. It's never about exploring the inner. So, yes, you're right. Nothing ever changes in this world. As Jesus said, there will always be wars and rumors of wars. Always. There'll always be difficulties here on earth. And it isn't because the earth is evil. It's because we don't transcend. We never think in terms of transcending. Hell, my students can't even change a habit. They can't even be aware of their habits. And when I point it out to them, they're astonished at, oh, yeah, I know I do that. And then I say, well, why do you do that? I don't know. I just do that. That's the way people think. That's the way they live. And I can't change that in a human being. I cannot tell them, this is what you need to do. Radical change. If you're listening to me now and you're past 40, you need radical change. Not little changes, radical changes. Changes that would really rock your boat. And you're not going to do that, because when people realize they need change, they're looking for guarantees for things that they might do that might make their life better if they do change. This is all falderal. Our whole life is revolving around the human body, around the ego, around vanity and pride. We just don't really get into the meaning and the substance of our life. So when I have given myself over to the human carcass, my genetics, my DNA, there can be very little change. I can alter a few things here and there. You know, you wait for life to do that. You wait for a mate to come to change your life, to make you happy. You wait for a baby to come to change your life and make you happy. You wait for money to come or a new job to come to make your life and make you happy. There is no transcendence in any of that. There's no authentic meaning in any of that. That's just the animal living on the earth and doing reproduction and survival. That's it. Now, the level of that survival and that level of reproduction is the only thing you can alter. And if that's the only thing you cherish in this life, the only thing you want to alter in this life, you're doomed. It's just going to be the same old, same old. It takes tremendous courage to do those things that make love possible. And if you do those things that make authentic love really possible, you're going to be evolving. There's a difference between change and evolution. And most of us are not into evolution. We're not into authentic evolution. We're into just rearranging the furniture in the house, as I always tell my students, and thinking we've moved out of the neighborhood. And that's about the best most people are willing to do. So I say to you, Hansen, if you want real change, you need to change yourself. And that change needs to be something in the level of transformation, not rearranging the furniture or just getting rid of one habit for another habit. And people will say, I need to get in the habit of meditating. Meditation is a deliberate act. It is an act that we do for the sake of our transformation. And it is not a matter of habit. It is a matter of the intent of love. It is about being interested in the evolution of love, of kindness. I have to be interested in love to meditate, real love, not the old Greg Penn human stuff. Hansen, thank you for your question. Please believe that my intent was to help you. Forgive me. Namaste. The next one is from Violet. She says she lives in Colorado. I can't seem to change no matter what I do. I try and I try to lose weight. And then she goes into some other bad habits, quit smoking, things like that. And I can't. What do I do? Violet. At the end of her little email, she said, is there any hope for a person like me? Violet, I don't do hope, okay? I really don't. It is not my gig. I try to help people realize the state of where they are in their mind and in their emotions, and then give them the choice as to how to maybe transcend that, leave it, and go to something else. But most people are stuck in their body because they're afraid of death. They're afraid of any discomfort and suffering that the human body is going to invoke upon them. And I can't say that I blame them. I really can't. Because in my work at hospice, in the many years I've done it, I've seen a lot of pain and sorrow. Not so much anymore these days because people are pretty much knocked out when they're leaving their bodies. So, you know, the pain thing isn't really there too much. But let me say this, and I hope I'm able to convey the authentic meaning here. To make change, real change, is to make evolution. It is to evolve beyond the human body, beyond the precepts, concepts, and beliefs that the human body has. And to make that happen, or to indulge in that, or be a part of that, you're going to have to make sacrifices. You're going to have to sacrifice. The number one thing is what you think of as happy, what you think will make you happy, what you think of as happy. This thing of happy is way over the top. People think that life is all about being happy and having fun. It isn't all about being happy and having fun. This is so immature and I narrow-minded. It's hard for me to even address. It isn't about being, you know, serious, you know, like Dick Nixon, you know, looking at life from the premise of politics. Oh, I am president, you know, that kind of thing, and thinking that you can make people's lives better by and through politics. It isn't going to happen. So what is the course of a lifetime? Why can't you change? Because you're afraid to die. You're afraid of pain. You're afraid of sorrow. You're afraid. And this fear causes deep regret in a person. I say regret because regret means I don't like what happened, but I'd do it again if given the chance. And all of this just keeps going and going. We do this without really realizing what we're doing. We want to be happy. I was on a phone call with my cousin the other day on Christmas, it seems like the other day, and she said, "What do you do for fun?" You know, she was asking me what my day was like, and I tell her I go here to hospice and help, you know, the kids and do my Batmo project. Anyway, it doesn't really matter. It didn't sound like fun to her. And she said, "What do you do for fun?" And I said, "You know, it's about love. And I'm beyond the idea of wanting to have fun. I want to be present in every moment. That is what it's all about. Doing things that allow love to happen. And I want to be there when it happens. I don't want to have fun. What is fun? But aggrandizing and nurturing the ego. The ego thinks it's having fun. It thinks that it's playing. It thinks it's doing things that are different, unusual. It's gathering all sorts of information from anything that we're doing and using it eventually against us. People think that living is having fun, lining things up so every day is fun. But that's really not what it's all about. And don't you see that that's what's really caused us to have great difficulty? Life is about entering into love. It is about the entrance into a state of being where the eternity, the immortality of life can be realized, can be experienced. It's about moving into the authentic and having an authentic life. That's the meaning of life, authenticity, to see the gravitas of living as an opportunity to awaken in love. To waste my time just doing things that appease my ego, relieve my mind or my emotions, gratify them for a few moments here and there is not love at all. It is not productive, but that's the way people like to think. They like to believe that's what they're all about. And as long as a person thinks this way, lives this way, this is the way it's going to be. Nothing's going to change. I can't tell you here, Violet, how to change. I mean, I could give you examples, and if I knew you better, if I knew you at all, I could say, don't do this, do that, do this, refrain from that, da da da. I could give you all sorts of things like that, but you're not going to do it. And even if you did, your resentment for having to do the things that you need to do that would change your life, quote unquote, or get you off the habit of overeating or smoking, as you talk about in your email, you resent. And even if you saw in the mirror changes, it'd only be for a while. And then your mind would get more and more critical. And it would say, well, if your hair, And then before you know it, that's all you're into is changing your body, which is destined to get old and sick and die anyway. So What are you changing? We have to change our point of view. We have to change where we think from. You have to live in love, to let love live you. And if you let love live you, the appropriate changes, I guarantee you, will happen and a meaningful life will occur. But you've got to want love more than wanting what you think is love, more than what you think would make you feel loved. Love is everything. It is not what we think of as emotional attachment, emotionality. It is far more than that. I could go on and on, Violet, but I'm not. I won't bore you. Good luck on the things you're trying to do. Change is inevitable. The big change will be death, old age, sickness, and death. And if that's what you're waiting for, or that's all you can do, that's all you can do. You join a huge crowd of people. A huge crowd. Please forgive me. Namaste. Last question comes from Ingle. I don't know where he lives. Can every day really be different, like you say? Really? Ingle. There are certain things, Ingle, that will remain the same. Chop wood, carry water. There are certain chores I have to do every day. I have to clean my house every day. I have to make breakfast every day, lunch every day, dinner every day. I have to do certain mechanical things in my home to keep it in good repair, blah, blah. There's always going to be those things, but it's how I go about them. It isn't that I have to do them, because I do. But how do I go about them? Do I find an energetic in it, something new? Taking out the trash. I have to go up a little hill to take my garbage pails up for them to collect them. And I laugh. I giggle inside myself because as the years have rolled on, I find it more and more difficult to get those cans up to the street. And it's kind of funny in a way, to me it is at least, because I see the changes in my body. And if I looked at it and go, I don't do that. I look at it as a privilege. It is an honor. It is something I do for not only myself as a human being, as a physical human being, but also I put love into it. I go up that hill, not with determination, but with compassion. I realize my human body is getting very, very tired and old, and I have to respect that. And as I respect that more and more, I find I am more in here, this beautiful presence that is the moment I'm in. I don't believe in any now moment. I believe in the occurrence of here, the convergence of everything coming together to create the here. And in this here, if I can be present in that here, if I can really be there in that here that I'm in, no matter how fleeting that moment may be, there is something to be realized, something to be understood, something beyond my pedestrian mentality that doesn't allow me to see what's really going on in the background of this whole experience. There is, as I said in the beginning of this program, something truly happening over and over and over again in the background. It is the constant of love. And if I can't drop my Greg Penn intent, my Greg Penn fears, my Greg Penn anger, my Greg Penn emotionality, my Greg Penn whatever, if I can't drop that, I will miss everything that is happening in the background. And that, my friend Ingle, is what's important. Gotta go. Wow, that went fast. Thank you, Ingo, for your question, and forgive me. Namaste. Well, there's another weekend for you. I hope it helped in some way. And if you have a question or a comment, All you have to do is email me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire, aspire.org. I'd love to hear from you. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.